But let's take a look at a distributor, and this will give you another little bit of insight into this inventory thing. There's two distributors, Distributor A and Distributor B. They both have $10 million in sales. Both distributors have $10 million in sales. But Distributor A only has $1 million in inventory, and Distributor B has $5 million in inventory. So this guy's getting 10 turns, and this guy's getting 2 turns. Net profit, you know, after sales and expenses, so is the same in both cases, let's say. This guy has a 50% return on his investment, and he has only a 10% return on only a 10% return, based on him having $1 million, obviously, and based on him having $5 million inventory. Inventory turns is the amount of inventory that you, the amount of the number that you get when you divide this number into their sales, and that's how you get inventory turns. Does anybody know what a good number is?
20.
Well, 20 is 20. Way beyond a good one. It's certain. It's fantastic. 7 to 8 is the number that generally have to have in the books. If you can make it higher than that, you know, God bless you. And, you know, if you've got really like a function, like a logistics function like Seco has, you know, that's something where they can really focus in on, you know, moving the inventory and setting up the systems and all that stuff to try to turn that inventory over.
John, do you know how many more turns Seco has?
I have no idea.
On inserts, 5.
5 turns.
4.7 times.
So that's, you know,
it's not very good.
It's not very good, but Seco's...
On return, on the other hand, you have 96% to 98% delivery service off the shelf.
Right.
That's
yeah.
What they're doing, the drawback.
Right, right. So, I mean, and that's a business decision to make. And I know when GE owned this business, you know, they were just death on inventory. When I was out in the field and stuff, they used to say, yeah, Carbolay makes good stuff, you just can't get it. And we didn't have the systems to handle, you know, the getting the inventory in place and all that kind of stuff properly. Plus, there was a lot of pressure on holding inventory down. If you look at the next chart here, you'll notice some of the costs associated with carrying inventory. And you can argue these numbers to some extent. There's an opportunity cost, and that's generally the biggest one. Does anybody know what the opportunity cost is?
Yes.
What does that mean, opportunity cost?
Would that be like the potential?
Well, if you put $1 million into inventory, you did not put $1 million into the stock market or into a CD or something like that. Right. So they actually set up a way to figure your inventory costs because you put that into inventory and you didn't put it into something that would turn a larger profit, then you could say that, you know, 10%, this guy only had $1 million in inventory, so he lost 100,000 opportunity costs. But you'd have to make an offsetting, and they don't do this in the business schools, but you'd actually have to put an offset because that as Magnus said, that $1 million in inventory provided more sales because they had delivery and availability and all that kind of stuff. So you'd have to offset this by what that inventory got you in profits because you had the inventory. But they, in business schools, they don't do that. They just say, okay, you have an inventory, you couldn't have it invested in money or certificates or whatever, so you lost something. They call that an opportunity cost. And the number historically used in business schools is 10%. So you can make an argument that, well, 10%, that's pretty high. You know, like right now, 5% would be probably a more certain return. But 10% is the number they use in the business schools. And you'd have to pay taxes on that inventory as well, so you'd have higher taxes. Now, obsolescence is a major thing. If you think about computers and stuff, of course, today now it's pretty much stabilized to a large extent. But I remember early on when I was doing stuff like this and I was just thinking about, man, could you imagine owning a computer store and having all these computers, you know, and every day they're coming out with something better and newer and all this kind of stuff and getting stuck with all these old computers. So obsolescence, that's still a factor in our industry for sure, and that's something that is inevitable. If you've got a big inventory, you're going to have stuff in set up, you're going to have obsolescence as a result of that. Now, there's ways to sell stuff, and there are. I remember at Carbaloy, years and years ago, the company next door, if you go to where Carbaloy's headquarters, there's a building right next door called Production Tool. And I remember the guy that owned that came over to Carbaloy and was talking to us about buying anything that we had that was carbide. And Carbaloy sold that guy, you know, truckloads of stuff. That were, everything, it was by weight. And the guy bought, you know, I don't know, 1 cent on the dollar or whatever. They came to some agreement, and that guy bought this stuff. And I was talking to another guy who told me that what they did is they put it all in a big factory, in a big floor, and they brought in guys that knew something about that stuff, and they sorted it out into what was something that could be sold and what is something that couldn't be sold, and then they shipped it all down to Mexico. And there's a distribution network down in Mexico, you know, where guys pull up in a truck and they say, hey, or their trunk or whatever, and sell all that stuff. And the guy made millions of dollars. And, you know, Carbaloy really isn't in a business to do that kind of stuff. And so, you know, they just sold it on the penny on a dollar or something along that line. But obsolescence is a big thing.